In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Glad to be with you today, and I just want to tell you that I've been reading from people who have been writing to me. I've started to do my mail. It takes me a while. But people just so grateful that many people said, you know, I just keep on hearing that I'm loved by God, that Jesus gave his life for me, that Jesus has a plan for me. I tell you, my friends, all those things are very true, that you are totally loved by God, that God sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world so that you might have eternal life as you give your life to Jesus. You know, this Christian life is not an easy life, but it's the only life to live, because when you give your life to Jesus, he gives his life to you. That's so important to know, that when you give your life to Jesus, he gives his life to you, and you are his and he is yours. This is reality. So again, I want to tell people that no weapon fashioned against them shall prosper. No matter what's happening in your life, whatever weapon that people are using, whether it be their tongue, whether it be money, whatever, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. You are one of the servants of the Lord. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And he asks that you would just give back your life to him. Give back your life to him. It's so important that we give our life back to Jesus. Today is the beheading of John the Baptist. I'm looking at Luke 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip the tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene. I tell you, why do we hear all these things, the tetrarch of this and the governor of that? Because Luke wants to put John the Baptist and Jesus in history. It happened in history. It is not like other religions that have myths. This is historical. Jesus is historical. John the Baptist is historical. And so Luke tells us it was in the year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And we know that the Sea of Galilee was also called the Sea of Tiberius, named after the Roman Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, you see, and Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee. I tell you, all these things are being written so that we would know that our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and he came into the world in history. He is not like the gods of the other gods that they have stories about them, like the Buddha, or like this one or that one. He is historical, and his miracles are historical. And it was during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. Oh yes, while he was there in the wilderness praying and seeking God and praying for the coming of the Messiah. And what does it say? And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So I'm going to tell you, John was not some quiet little preacher. He was hollering, repent, repent, give your life to the Lord, repent, repent. He was waiting for the coming of the Lord, as it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Oh yes, this is This is John the Baptist. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And we know who the salvation of God is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who gave his life for you, who wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, who accepts you, who forgives your sins when we go to confession. Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John came to herald Jesus. Let's see what it says. Then said John to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, "You are a generation of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" My gosh, you know, he wasn't a priest that was looking for a lot of money. You know, he called the people, especially the Pharisees, a generation of vipers. Imagine if any priest got up in front of the congregation and said, "You are a generation of vipers." No, I never would say a thing like that, but I do say, "You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I am in need of Jesus Christ, and you are in need of Jesus Christ." And it's just like that. Oh, I would not call anyone a brood of vipers, my Lord. That is not what I would ever do. And then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children from Abraham." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, it's as we've been talking about, you know, the nations, and that Christianity is to the nations, that the Jewish people could think that we have Abraham, you know, or the Catholics people can think, well, we have the fullness of faith. Well, we have the fullness of responsibility, because with the fullness of faith comes the fullness of responsibility. I wonder what we would do if John the Baptist came into our church today. I wonder what we would say. First of all, he would smell. Second of all, he would be very loud. Third of all, he would not be politically correct. Today we celebrate the beheading of John the Baptist. Oh, yes. He lost his head for the love of God. He lost his head for the love of Jesus. Let's continue. "Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid bare, and to the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire." Sounds like hell. Every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. Jesus calls us his children, the children of the Father, to bear fruit, and that our fruit would last. That's real. That's real. And then the people asked John, saying, "What shall we do?" He answered and said unto them, "The person who has two coats, let him impart to him that doesn't have a coat. And the person that has food to eat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed to you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." You see, he's just telling them what they need to do morally. You know, it's important. You know, tax collectors that were Jewish were very interesting figures, like Matthew. You know why? Because they not only collected tax for Rome, but they added a little more for themselves. You see what I'm saying? Oh, it was a job that was hated by the Jews. The Jewish people hated people like Matthew, but I remember after Jesus called Matthew to leave his post, he had a big reception, a big dinner, and people came that were sinners, and Jesus was there in the midst of them, and Jesus was fishing. Oh, yes, fishing for these men, fishing for these people. I tell you, that was real. Jesus is a fisherman. He's fishing out for you. He wants you. He wants your peace. He wants your life. He wants your being. He wants to show you that he is friend, and he doesn't call you servant, that he's got plans for you. I got a call today from a woman who's been really plagued with demons, and I prayed in tongues over her, and she felt a little peace. But you know what? I said to her, the devil hates Jesus because he can't get at Jesus. He's getting at you. But you want to know what? You want to know what? God's got plans for you because the devil is trying to torment you. God's got plans for you, great big plans. And I just want to be the one to say it to you. And she said, do you think so? I said, I know so. I know so. And as the people were in expectation, what were they expecting? They're waiting for the Messiah. And all men mused in their hearts whether John was the Messiah or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of his shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let's look at this again. With the Holy Ghost and fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm telling you, we need that fire in 2013. We need that fire. We need that Holy Spirit. We not only need to know that Jesus loves us, we need to know that we have a power that is greater than words, a power that is greater than expectation. He is the third person in the Blessed Trinity. He is the blessed Holy Spirit. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, we have not as much heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, not only in the sacrament of baptism, but through the sacrament of baptism and confirmation, he releases that power, and we experience that outpouring of the Spirit, that baptism of the Spirit, that being filled with the Spirit. I tell you, they didn't even hear that there was a Holy Spirit. Isn't it? How can that be? Well, that was real. And he said unto them, how were you baptized? And they said, with John's baptism. Then Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is the Christ, that is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. I tell you, Jesus comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He is not satisfied with us just knowing God loves us. He wants to give us the very power of the Holy Spirit, that power that flows from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. We need that power to live in the Christian life. I'm going to tell you, we need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life, because the Christian life is supernatural. It's not just following laws. I tell you, it's by grace we are saved, not by laws. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen. Producing good works. That's what Ephesians says. We are saved by grace, by grace, by grace. That's how we are saved. And we need the Holy Spirit in our life like nothing before, because we live in an age of sickness. We kill children, one right after the other, in the abortion mills. And only God knows what happens to people that are going to these terrible places. Only God knows what happens to them. Only God knows the pain that they have afterwards, because Planned Parenthood is not going to listen to their pain. They're just there to collect their money. John said, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, whose latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Not only with the Holy Ghost, but with fire. I need the fire, Lord. I need the fire of the Holy Spirit. I need it. 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 In Jesus' name. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn in the fire which is unquenchable. And many other things he exhorted, and he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, because Herod was living with his brother Philip's wife, and you know what John was saying, repent, repent, added yet that above all that they shut up John in prison. I'm going to tell you, you can put Johnny in prison, but you can't keep his mouth shut. Oh, he's in the bottom of the cellar of Herod. And you know what happens. He's going to be screaming, repent, 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 repent. And I tell you, that's why he lost his head, because he kept on saying repent, and the wife got sick of it all. And we remember what was happening. There was a dance and by Salome, and Herod says, I'll give you anything, even half the kingdom. And the wife said, we want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I tell you how sick people can be when they are in sin. How sick people can be when they are in sin. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, Luke tells us Jesus was praying, the heavens were open. Oh God, open the heavens above us. Let the Holy Spirit come. Come, wonderful Jesus, come with your power, come with your light, come with your fire. Oh, baptize us in the Holy Spirit, oh God, just like Acts 4 received a new anointing. Give us a new anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we can preach Christ, so that we can share our testimony. Oh, and when Jesus was baptized, he was praying and the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus. And the voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you. You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you. I tell you, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. The rest of us are sons of God by grace. Jesus is Son of God by nature. Yes, he always was the Son of God as the Word of God, and the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Nazareth. That's when Jesus took on flesh. And I just want to say to people that say, I'm Catholic and I'm pro-choice, if Mary lived today and she conceived Jesus and she was an unwed mother, what could have happened to her? Of course, it wouldn't have happened to her because she was a woman of faith. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you can't be a Catholic and be for choice of killing children. Because if you are, you have to at least say, I am a Catholic and I am pro-choice, and add for killing children. Okay, you have to add that. If you're pro-choice, fine. But you have to add, I am pro-choice for killing children. Because that's what they do in the abortion mill. They kill children. And you know what? If you say you're pro-choice and you're Catholic, you've got to say, I am pro-choice to kill children. I don't know anybody that would say a thing like that. I have no idea who would say a terrible thing like that. We've been seeing so much violence on the television lately, you know?
so much violence on the television, and people killing people, and little children being shot with guns, and it's really disgusting. And this is the record of John. This is John 1. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask the Baptist, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." Oh, yes. Just remember John 1:20. You are not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. Sometimes we've got to let go of our children, and if they're drinking, we've got to go to Al-Anon and let go of these kids, because you cannot change these kids. I cannot change the kids. I am not the Messiah. When we take on the role of the Messiah, nothing happens. I have to change my son. I have to change my daughter. You can't. You can't. You got to let them go, and you've got to give them to Jesus. You got to give them to Jesus. He said, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "Who then? Are you Elijah?" And John said, "I am not Elijah. Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto John, "Who are you, that we may give answer to them that sent us?" And they said, "And what do you say of yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" And you know, we need many John the Baptist today that are going to make straight the way of the Lord, that are going to proclaim the blood of Jesus, are going to proclaim the love of God, that are going to proclaim the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going to proclaim that God is with us, that Jesus gave his life for us, that Jesus rose from the dead. We need people that are going to be doing that, because you know what? We live in an age of unbelief. And most of us, including myself, were schooled in the school of unbelief. You know, show me, show me, show me. I tell you, many times God has shown us, and then we say it would have happened anyway. That's terrible. Then don't pray at all. It would have happened anyway. I'm telling you, keep on praying for my brother. He's in remission, and I know it's your prayers. I know it's your prayers. I just say amen to the prayers of the people that are praying for my brother. He is in remission, and that's just the way it is. And I know, because people like you have been praying. And they asked John and said unto him, "Why do you baptize then, if you are not the Christ, and you are not Elijah, and you are not the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He it is who comes after me, and is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him, and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sin of the world.'" The Lamb of God. Oh, John knew in the spirit that this would be a sacrificial lamb. Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb. He is the new Passover. He is the new Passover. "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me,' and he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water, and John bare witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like the dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God.'" Again, we have the great witness of John the Baptist. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. John the Baptist, you gave your life for Jesus Christ. Help us to give our hearts to Jesus Christ. Help us to experience the Holy Spirit that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, raise up. I pray that you would pray that preachers would be raised up, preachers that would preach the gospel, the power of the gospel in the name of Jesus. I say John baptized with water, but one coming after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let it be now in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.